Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Coromandel International Q3 FY25 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on a touch-tone phone. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ranjit Cirumalla from IIFL Capital. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Muskan. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Coromandel International's Q3 FY25 earnings conference call. We thank the management for giving us this opportunity to host the earnings call today. From the management, we have with us Mr. Shankara Subramanian, Managing Director and Chief Executive Officer, Dr. Raghuram Devarakonda, Executive Director, CPC, Bioproducts and Retail, and Mrs. Jayashree Satagopan, President, Corporate and CFO. We would begin the call with an opening remarks from the management, post which we will have a Q&A session. Over to you.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thanks, Ranjit, for organizing this conference call. I'll give a brief overview on the business environment and the company performance, and Jayashree will take you through the financials. Then we can have a Q&A session at the end. On the agriculture scenario, the rainfall, Northeast monsoon, which is a major rainfall activity over South Peninsula, especially in our markets of Andhra, Rayalaseema, and Tamil Nadu, and Karnataka, has been good, and all regions have reported good rains, especially in October-December period, and the majority of these regions received above-normal rains. Also, going by the early estimates for the next cropping season, global weather models are predicting La Niña to neutral conditions to prevail, which augurs very well for the agriculture scenario for the next season. Thanks to good monsoon, reservoir levels are comfortable, especially in the southern part, with most of the regions reporting high storage compared to last year's normal levels, although there has been a drop in the northern regions. The conducive environmental conditions have resulted in improved crop sowings. As on January, we could see 2% growth in the crop sowing, reaching to 64 million hectares, predominantly wheat, Rabi being the Rabi season. Wheat is a predominant crop, 31 million on pulses, 14 million on oilseeds. The first advance estimate of the major agri crops projects the food grain output at 167 million tons, which is 9 million tons more than last year, and the record output of paddy and maize expected in the current season. The gross value added from agri and allied industries is also expected to grow at 3.8% compared to last 1.4%, making it the fastest-growing sector in the country. On the policy side, there has been good development in terms of infrastructure strengthening. Government has recently announced work under the Ken-Betwa River Linking Project that intends to bring 3.5 million hectares under assured irrigation. Further, there has been renewed impetus for completion of Polavaram Project in Andhra, and that can bring in another 1 million hectares of land under irrigation, especially in our home markets. As you are aware, the government has been closely engaging with the industry to ensure availability of fertilizers, and during the Rabi period, especially in the initial sowing stage, the industry and government have worked together and ensured availability of DAP in the northern markets and also availability of alternate grades of NP/NPK grades. And to support this, government has also announced a special package of 3,500 rupees per metric ton, but extended beyond 31st December up to 31st March. Besides this one-time package, they have also extended additional price compensation beyond purchase price of DAP in order to ensure availability of DAP. As company and industry, we are working towards balanced nutrition and trying to see how best the shift can happen from DAP to NPKs. On the industry side, fertilizer raw materials are fairly stable, except we saw sudden dip in sulfur and sulfuric acid, especially due to demand coming from China and Indonesia. And phosphate price for Q3 has been fixed at $1,055, a $5 reduction over the previous quarter. And also, there has been a corresponding reduction in rock prices we have witnessed. Overall, I would say the raw material prices remain reasonably stable and likely to remain stable in the fourth quarter with the easing of geopolitical tension across the globe. For the 9 months period, phosphate fertilizer production for the industry has gone up by 5% to 11.3 million tons. Of course, imports were lower to 5.6 million tons, almost 20% lower, basically due to supply chain disruption of DAP. Over on the consumption side, is one of the best season industry has ever witnessed. In this period, the year-to-date consumption has grown by 6% to 20 million tons versus 18.9 million tons last year. Also, we have seen the shift happening between DAP, even though the availability was less, but farmers have opted for NPK, and almost I would say a million ton shift has happened from DAP to NPK, especially in the northern markets. The response to the grades like 2020 has been good. Overall share of NP and PK has moved up to 58% from 49%. And Q3 also witnessed significant uptick in demand, and consumption rose by 27% due to improved agroclimatic situations. And SSP industry consumption also has grown by 3% on year-to-date basis, and especially in Q3 it has grown by almost 59%. Crop protection, global markets are seeing gradual reduction in the channel inventory levels with improvement in consumption. Some of our key molecules have received good interest from the market, and we expect the situation to further improve in the coming periods. Coming specific to our company performance for Q3, Coromandel has reported very resilient performance with overall increase in volumes across the business segments and improved operational efficiencies due to higher throughput, especially of intermediates, phosphoric acid and sulfuric acid, low conversion costs, and improved power generation in the fertilizer units. Besides that, all business segments have grown on new products and value-added products. Our plants have been operating at 95% capacity, producing 8.4 lakh tons of NPK. Also registered record phosphoric acid production in Q3. And the new sulfuric acid plant, which commissioned in the last year, has been operating on 100% plus capacity, which helped the business to capture value and power savings, and also in the volatile price of sulfuric acid, it was very advantageous for the business to have access to a captive sulfuric acid. Our ongoing project at Kakinada for setting up 2 lakh tons of phosphoric acid and related sulfuric acid is progressing well, and we expect the plant to be commissioned by Q4 of next year. As you all know, we announced investment in additional capacity of 7.5 lakh tons of NPK facility at Kakinada. Last week, we carried out Bhumi Puja to initiate the project activity, and we are in the final stage of negotiating with technology provider and also business partner, and ensure that this project will come up in the next 24 months. I'll be there for commercial production from Q4 of 2027. On the marketing side, we have significantly improved our volumes. Primary sale of NPKs in Q3 stands at 11.4 lakh tons, as against 9.4 lakh tons we had last year corresponding period, registering growth of 21%. It's heartening to note that our consumption has been extremely good. There has been increase of 73% in consumption and stands at 12.7 lakh tons as against 7.3 lakh tons we had. This has considerably reduced the channel inventory for the company, and also our ability to take the material to northern markets also been very useful to balance geographies in case of any uncertainties. For the 9 months period, our consumption-based market share has moved up to 17% as compared to 13% last year. Company is strengthening its marketing infrastructure, and during the quarter inaugurated Central Soil and Leaf Testing Lab, the state-of-the-art facility at Kakinada. It also set up a poly house facility near Hyderabad to drive research in protective agriculture space. SSP also registered a quarterly volume growth of 29%, with a major share coming from value-added products like Grow Plus and Urea SSP. On the specialty nutrient business, which mainly relates to water-soluble fertilizers, secondary micronutrients and organic fertilizers, we had a very good quarter. The business could recoup the volumes lost out in Kharif, and they could show improved volumes, especially on organic fertilizers. The business commissioned bentonite sulfur plant, which has improved the capacity from the current levels. On the nano DAP, our agronomy team has been continuously engaging with the farmers across the country and carrying out field trials, and the response has been quite positive. And during the 9 months period, we have sold 25 lakh bottles. Almost 40% of the total sales happened in the country. As you all know, that we also started the Gromor drive, which is a drone spraying activity carried out in the last 9 months, and we have covered more than 1.1 lakh acres, including the services rendered through our retail outlets. These spraying services, besides providing benefit of cost and convenience to the farmer, it can also considerably save 90% of the water during input application as compared to conventional methods. This will be one of the activities which Coromandel will be scaling up as we move forward in the next 2 years. Crop protection bio business. Actually, crop protection has done well in the domestic formulation segment, registering growth of 14%, and global export market also registering growth of 5%. Business also improved its margin structure, and EBIT has improved by 8%, especially driven by domestic B2B and formulation segment. Overall, EBIT margin for the segment is at 14.3%. The new products introduced during the year have performed very well, and the share of sales from new products for the year stands at 24%, as against 14% we had last year. In exports, our key products have started receiving increasing demand, driven by positive momentum in Brazil. The business has initiated activities for its multi-purpose product plant at Ankleshwar, which was approved by the board in the last board meeting, and we are progressing well to commission the plant in 18 months' time. Bioproducts business improved its margin during the quarter through volume, though export volumes have got impacted, and there has been a delay in securing orders which will come through in the fourth quarter. The business is looking at collaborative opportunity on the Azhar side, expanding the product portfolio beyond Azhar. The company has also initiated steps to collaborate with a global trading company based out Europe for niche product segments in similar to a CDMO opportunity, which can open up doors for future such engagement and can take the bio business to the next level. It's also testing out the new products in plant extracts and microbial space, and happy to share that a lot of products on the final stage of approvals and registration. In CDMO, we continue to engage with multiple customers, and we are in the stage of sample submission. Further engagement will happen before we commence the operation. Retail business delivered very strong performance during this quarter, and the business focused on all across segments. Fertilizer has done extremely well through the retail outlets, and also they improved the performance on all other verticals. Crop protection sale has considerably improved, specialty nutrients has grown well, and they also increased organic fertilizers volume. And also they are in the process of adding new stores. They've added 18 stores during this quarter, and now the total store count has moved to 810. The retail business is also focusing on creating exclusive crop protection liquid fertilizers and gold spraying services stores under the brand name of Corecare, and they are doing the pilot for 3-4 stores, and if it works well, they will extend this to more number of stores across AP, Telangana and other states. These are my initial observations on the business performance. I will request JC to cover on the financial side.
Thank you, Shankar. Good afternoon, all. Let me take you through the financial performance for the quarter and for year-to-date. Turnover. The company recorded a consolidated total income of Rs. 7,049 crores during this quarter and Rs. 9,330 crores for the 9 months ended 31st December, registering a growth of 28% for the quarter and 6% for the 9 months. The increase in revenues is mainly on account of higher volumes in the business. Nutrients and allied businesses contribute to 91% share, and the remaining 9% comes from crop protection business. For the 9 months period, it was 90% and 10% respectively. Subsidy businesses share in revenue stands at 84% for the quarter and 83% for 9 months. During the previous year, it was 82% for the quarter and 84% for 9 months. Profitability. The consolidated EBITDA for the quarter was Rs. 722 crores as against Rs. 358 crores during the last year. For the 9 month period, it was Rs. 2,202 crores as against Rs. 2,126 crores during the last year. Subsidy businesses share in EBITDA stands at 69% during the quarter and 71% for the 9 months. Previous year, It was 37% for the quarter and 74% for 9 months. Net profit after tax for the quarter is rupees 508 crores in comparison to 228 crores for the corresponding quarter last year and rupees 1,476 crores for the 9 months against rupees 1,477 crores during the last year. Subsidy. During quarter three, the company received subsidy amount of rupees 2,036 crores. Last year, it was 721 crores. For the 9 month period, subsidy received totals to rupees 5,892 crores and in the last year it was 7,033 crores. Subsidy outstanding as on 31st December 2024 was at rupees 2,095 crores. Balance sheet, the company's balance sheet continues to be strong. Focus on working capital improvements has helped in augmenting the cash position. Company intends to utilize the investable surplus for its capital investments as well. Incentives on capital investments. The company had applied to the AP government for availing incentives on the large capital investments that's being made in the state. This has been favorably considered by the State Industrial Promotion Board. Tax matters. The company has successfully applied and has been receiving GST refunds. During the quarter, the company engaged proactively with the GST authorities and represented the matter relating to a demand of rupees 489 crores against the earlier GST applications and refunds received. The company has recently received a favorable order from the GST Commissioner Appeals. Interest. During the quarter, the company earned net interest income, excluding the Ind AS lease adjustments, of rupees 51 crores vis-a-vis rupees 31 crores in the last year. For the 9 month period, company earned a net interest income of rupees 68 crores vis-a-vis 53 crores in the last year. Company continues to deploy the surplus funds in board-approved securities and will be deploying them further for its future strategic investments. Forex. During the later part of the third quarter, the US dollar strengthened against most currencies, with the Republicans winning in the US elections and Donald Trump getting back to power. Indian rupee, like other global currencies, witnessed a sharp depreciation, moving from rupees 83.79 to 85.68 during the quarter. Coromandel continued to follow a prudent conservative approach of hedging the forex exposures, which has immensely helped in limiting the impact of the currency depreciation. Dividend. The board in its meeting held on 30th January 2025 has approved an interim dividend of rupees 6 per share. Thank you all for your interest in Coromandel and joining the call today. We look forward to the interactions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask question may press star and 1 on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Nirav Jimudia from Envil Research. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, team. Ma'am, I have two questions to ask. So one on the agro side. Ma'am, if you can share, what was the volume growth for mancozeb in 9 months of FY25 vis-a-vis of 9 months of last year? As well as if you can share that, like recently we have seen the prices of mancozeb in the international market moving up. So how much of that is captured in Q3 and how much it is still left to be captured going forward?
So, Nirav, thanks for your question. I'm just going to get the volume data out. Meanwhile, in terms of the mancozeb prices, I'm going to request Raghu to give you a bit of an update.
My suggestion on to the specific products and pricing, let's look at the macro picture if you need anything. Dr. Raghu to respond to it. But we'll not get into specifics on the product pricing and volume at this stage.
Fine. Sir, also if you can share, like last year we produced close to around 70,000 tons of technicals out of over 90,000 tons of production capacity. So how are we looking FY25 and FY26 in terms of the production of technicals, given the kind of newer products we have launched on the formulation side? This along with, if you can combine the volume data growth for mancozeb, that would be helpful.
Raghu, I'll briefly touch upon before you comment on mancozeb. See, it may not be appropriate to look at absolute volume technicals because more and more new products are coming in which are high value and low volume.
Yeah.
And you know, some muscles also go out of the system. So it may not be appropriate to look at tonnage as the indicator for the future growth prospects. Rather, we should look at whether we have got registration for new generation molecules, which can improve the overall business prospects and the margin structure.
Okay.
There are enough opportunity available for us to scale up the production. And recently, in yesterday's board meeting also, we have taken approval to enhance the capacity of a technical facility. Besides whatever multipurpose plan we took approval, we are looking at some brownfield capacity expansion, which may come up between Sarigam and Dahej.
Okay.
So we are looking at the current business environment, opportunity it throws up with us in terms of the registration, the countries in which we operate, and we are planning to take advantage of the market situation and increase our volume growth. Definitely the capacity utilization may come down due to monocrotophos moving out, but we are repurposing these plants with new technicals and new products, and the projects which have been initiated in the beginning of this quarter or in the final stage will be completed by March, and this will come into next year in production line, and we'll be launching the products and brands both in domestic and global markets. Raghu may supplement with any volume data relating to mancozeb.
So primarily, just to add, I think specifically the technicals that we are talking about, as we have mentioned in the previous interactions, we are crossing across portfolio to enter herbicides also.
Okay.
So I think that is, you know, so that we get a good balanced portfolio of insecticides, fungicides, and herbicides, with a view to support our formulation foray, you know, which is with the greater determination to grow in market, as well as we have made a foray into selling formulations in the exports market as well.
Okay.
So with that objective, we have invested in the back end to make some new technicals, so that we produce ample quantity both to support the B2C as well as the B2B opportunity.
Got it, sir. So second question is on the SSP side. So if you can share your thoughts here, because last year was bad in terms of the SSP, but given the kind of price increases and the shortages what we have seen on the DAP side, possibly SSP being a good substitute, how do you see the volume growth for SSP in FY25 and FY26, and also if you can share, like, what sort of margins per ton we are currently making on the SSP side? Because in one of the interactions earlier, ma'am mentioned that, like, we were anywhere between 1500 to 2500 rupees a ton of SSP margin. So if you can share your thoughts here, that would be very helpful. Thank you so much.
So SSP is definitely revived. In fact, current year performance is much better. As you rightly said, the shortage of DAP and also the good monsoon situation, there has been a spike in SSP volume. In the case of Coromandel, more than chasing volume, we have looked at the value-added products. We have a unique product which is base SSP plus micronutrients like zinc and boron, which can be a potential alternate to DAP. It's been doing extremely well. We have scaled up the volume of these variants. In fact, the major share of our volume growth which happened in this quarter has come from these differentiated products like Gro Plus. Also, as you are aware, we have introduced UriSSP, which besides P is called contain N as well. And this is again a one-to-one alternative to DAP. So that has also been very well received in the market. So our aim in SSP business is to focus more on value-added granulation products. And accordingly, we are increasing our capacity to produce UriSSP. The plant which we came up in Nimrani for UriSSP has been operating at full capacity. Now we are trying to add this facility at Udaipur, which is another plant for SSP. And going forward, more than 50 to 60% of the total SSP volume will come from these differentiated products, which improve the margin structure. You are absolutely right, the margins are in the range of 1500 to 2000. But it can potentially go up with the increased share of these integrates. As you know, we have plants across the country and we have capacity close to 1 million tons. This year we had some challenges in availability of sulfuric acid and we couldn't scale up the volume. But going forward, our aim would be to reach 1 million ton capacity in 2 years' time, probably taking it to 8 lakh tons next year and thereafter 1 million tons. And that too with focus on these specialty grades, which are as good as any other NPK product.
The participant left the queue. The next question is from the line of Prashant Biyani from Elara Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on great set of numbers. So POS volume this quarter has been very strong across India in both urea and complex. What is driving this and would it mean that Q4 dispatches should again be seeing double-digit growth for us?
So overall monsoon condition, reservoir levels and crop acreages, the consumption has gone up significantly. In fact, as you all aware, in the year beginning, the channel was carrying higher inventory that partially got reduced in Kharif. Now in this Q3, there's a significant reduction in the channel inventory. As you all know, the most of the markets, the crop season comes to an end by February, middle or end. The consumption may not happen from March until season starts in May. But having said that, we could see significant improvement in POS volume even in January. So this is really helpful in terms of reducing the channel inventory, thereby unlocking the subsidy amount which is stuck in the system. It's good and also it augurs well for the next Kharif season where the industry can build up inventory and meet the market demand. But the volume growth is contingent upon the capacity and the import tie-up which has happened. So it won't be a double-digit growth. It will be as per our plan, and as you know, fourth quarter we generally take annual turnaround. So our volumes will be more or less aligned with the market demand. That's the way we have been doing every year.
Sure. Sir, for FY26, what kind of volume growth are you looking at, and it will be contributed by incremental volumes would be contributed through manufacturing or trading?
It will be a combination of both. Very difficult to put a number, but we have been carrying out some debottlenecking of our facilities at Kakinada as well as Vizag, and that will be really adding to the volume increase next year. And also our renewed plant where we are currently restarted only phosphoric acid and sulfuric acid, we are ready to start the granulation plant. So that volume, we all see the volume growth. All this growth are happening in the existing plant with Ennur not operating at granulation facility from the year beginning. It shows the productivity and the debottlenecking which has already happened in an existing facility. We are trying to repurpose this plant for any alternate range of NPK fertilizers. So there is a potential volume increase for manufacturing, either by getting back Ennur and also by debottlenecking the capacities at Kakinada and Vizag. Besides that, we may resort to imports, especially DAP. The company we manufacture NPKs and we import DAP. And also sometimes we also resort to NPK. As a strategy, we have decided to scale up the volume in the next 2 years to ensure that whenever the new plant comes up, we develop the markets, especially in the northern states of MP, Rajasthan, and Uttar Pradesh, so that we'll be able to easily absorb the volumes as and when the plant is commissioned. So there'll be growth in volumes in the coming years.
Right. So for this quarter, I think there is a dip in non-subsidy, non-CP EBITDA, the segment which comprises of Spectrum, organic nutrient, retail, and others. Is the reading right? And if yes, what is driving this decline? And I was a bit confused because in your initial commentary, you told that specialty nutrient business was good, but this non-subsidy, non-CP EBITDA is showing some decline. If you can confirm that.
I don't know how you arrive at the math. All these are part of the nutrient segment, both specialties as well as the retail comes under the nutrient segment, and that has grown. And in effect, our retail stores have done extremely well in the volumes across categories, and most stores have become profitable. 90-95% of the stores are profitable. So retail has done well. And specialty nutrients have also grown on volume terms compared to last year. Both top line and profitability has grown for this segment as well. And also we have improved our non-DAP volumes as compared to last year. So probably there can be a marginal reduction in the bio business, where the export orders we executed last year has not happened to that extent. There is only a correction or a reduction in the bio business. The rest of the segments have grown well.
Okay. I'll come back into you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Arjun Khanna from Kotak Mahindra Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question and congratulations on a great set of numbers. The first question is in terms of supply chain. So we are setting up a new granulation trains. So we had acquired a stake in Baobab Mining. Any other such acquisitions on the anvil? We had talked about securing rock phosphate. We haven't seen any such acquisitions or such tie-ups post this one. So would like to hear your comments on the same.
For the new granulation capacity, the phosphoric acid required 200,000 tons. We are putting up a new plant. So that takes care of, and the corresponding sulfuric acid needs also, we are putting up a plant. So these two major intermediates, what is required for granulation facility, is tied up, and ammonia, we have a long-term contractual arrangement, so we don't see any challenge. For phosphoric acid, we require rock, and we have a fair visibility on the sources of rock. And you are right, Baobab Mines, we are scaling up during this quarter. We have commissioned the fixed processing plant, and the operations are getting stabilized. At this current rate, we are able to ship out one ship every 45 days, and soon that will get reduced to 30 days with improved throughput. So we do expect Baobab Mines can scale up volume to 300,000 tons next year, and in the following year up to 500,000 tons, which is a significant supply to meet the Kakinada rock requirement for the new phosphoric acid plant. So we don't anticipate any challenge in terms of securing rock phosphate for the new plant. It will be driven by Senegal supply plus other existing sources where we have long-term contracts.
Sure, that's helpful. And what would, and at 500,000, would that entity be profitable?
Yes, it should. The cost structure, once the volume improves, currently the cost structure is a little on the higher side because of the lower output, but output gets stabilized. We are fairly confident that it will be much more competitive. More than looking at the standalone profitability of Baobab, we look at the complete value chain of phosphoric as a value addition, and also our ability to buy rock from other sources at a competitive price. Our understanding of mining, our understanding of rock market is definitely helpful to secure the entire volume at the most competitive price. So I don't look at Baobab on a standalone profitability basis. On an integrated basis, it makes a lot of strategic sense for the company.
Sure, very helpful, sir. Sir, the second question is on the retail piece. You also did allude to it. What would the turnover be of this business, say, in the third quarter and in 9 months? And in terms of year-on-year, how are we looking at scaling this up going forward?
I don't know. As per the segmental, we don't put out the separate top line and profitability. But what I can say is it has grown significantly. On Q3 alone, the top line growth is 20%. And in terms of bottom line growth, there also we have seen significant improvement. The category is more than the absolute profitability. In fact, the bottom line on retail, where we capture only the retail margin, we don't capture the entire margin because that remains with the respective SPS in terms of captive product. Only for the third party, the entire margin goes into the retail business. There has been 17% growth in the profitability as well. See, one is looking at the revenue and profitability, the other one is our ability to scale up the new product. So we have seen in the last few quarters, whatever new products in crop protection or specialty segments or organic, the ability of retail to connect with and communicate to the farmers and scale up the volume has been tremendous. They have given enough confidence for us to enhance the number of centers from the current level. The last time also we spoke about increasing the centers, doubling from current level, and we are on that path. And we'll be adding significant number of stores in fourth quarter as well. And we also plan to add additional numbers in the next year as well. So strategically, I think retail is upside of retail is still fit to play out.
Sure. So what would be the number of stores as on 31st of December? And would it be PBT positive as a whole?
Absolutely. 810 stores we have.
810?
Yes.
And you said we are looking at doubling it over 2 years to maybe 1,500 plus by FY27.
Correct.
Perfect. Thank you so much and wishing you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ensure that management is able to address questions from all the participants, please limit a question to 2 questions per participant. For follow-up question, we request you to rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Somia from Avendus Spark. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity, sir. The first question is on the volumes that we have done, 11% growth. Could you help us understand how much was contributed from our core region and how did we benefit from the northern market expansion? And also if you could give some color on the northern market expansion, which are the regions and how we are planning it for the next 1 year?
This quarter, basically, Rabi season, the activity is more in the northern markets compared to the south markets, especially in the month of November. And as I mentioned in my earlier communication, as part of our strategy to increase the availability of fertilizers in the northern market, we started sending shipments to the state of Madhya Pradesh, Uttar Pradesh, Rajasthan. The volumes, almost 3.1 lakh tons, have come from north and center. If I have to compare the earlier last quarter corresponding period, it is around 1.6. So almost we can say we have doubled our numbers as compared to last year corresponding quarter. So this is a strategic call we have taken to ensure that we move to northern markets for our NPK. And position ourselves as a pan-India player on the fertilizer, especially phosphatic business. And also we have significant presence through single superphosphate, also through specialty nutrients. And this year we launched Nano. So we have a complete range of product portfolio. So while we have been focusing on primary markets of Andhra, Telangana, Karnataka, and Maharashtra, we started focusing on these secondary markets. Our aim would be to scale up the volume in the coming years and be a pan-India player for the entire nutrition segment ranging from SSP to specialty fertilizers.
Got it, sir. Sir, also could you give some color on the global phosphoric acid market, how you are seeing in terms of supply-demand dynamics and also on rock? Is this a year where there is good amount of supply and the demand is kind of normalizing compared to last year, or you see still things to be on the tighter front because phosphoric acid prices have kind of slightly gone up now. Now we are at 1,050 odd levels. So just wanted to understand your thoughts on the supply-demand dynamics.
Phosphoric acid globally, most of the countries have started securing fertilizers for their domestic use. To that extent, there is no significant addition to the global trade of phosphoric acid. The sources which have been supplying acid, especially to Coromandel, we continue to receive those supply. In fact, we have diversified our phosphoric acid sources to more than six to seven and de-risk ourselves. We import from China, we import from Middle East, we import from Philippines, and also we get it from our own joint ventures like Tunisia, and we also get it from U.S. To that extent, and also we have debottlenecked our capacity at Vizag steadily year-on-year, and the surplus acid from Vizag also moves to Kakinada. Besides that, we are putting up a new phosphoric acid plant of 400,000 tons. We don't see much challenge in terms of availability of phosphoric acid. Whatever is required, we should be able to tap the market and make it available. In terms of the rock, we have a significant requirement both for Vizag and Kakinada. Currently, we have 1.5 million tons we consume at Vizag. It may go up to 2.3-2.4 million tons when we commission Kakinada plant. We have stable sources from African countries, and we don't see any major challenge. The current pricing scenario, phosphoric acid prices generally track DAP prices, and as a country, as a company, we are in a position to negotiate terms in line with the DAP price movement and ammonia prices, which leaves the residual value for phosphoric acid. That has been the trend in the past, and India was able to negotiate better price terms as compared to global prices prevailing in Europe and other parts of the world. In terms of the rock pricing, as I mentioned in my earlier communication, there's been reduction in rock price in the last quarter, and that will be consumed in the next quarter. Going forward also, I expect some softness in rock phosphate, which we could see, especially for SSP use and also for our main phosphoric acid production. We are not expecting any challenge in securing raw material as well as the prices. Prices generally track DAP and phosphoric track DAP and rock tracks phosphoric acid. That has been the trend. With our own captive mines coming in, additional supplies coming in, we don't expect any significant jump in price of rock phosphate.
Got it, sir. Sir, one follow-up on our margin outlook.
Sir, I just request you to rejoin the queue.
Sure, sure.
Yeah. Thank you so much. The next question is from the line of Ankur Periwal from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Congratulations on a good set of number, and thanks for the opportunity. First question on the fertilizer, you know, margin outlook. We had, you know, highlighted during our management interaction earlier around 40-odd% jump in overall fertilizer margin. Just wanted to understand the timelines for it, and whether the SSP change in SSP portfolio, the differentiated products that we are making, is a top-up to that 40% jump or is including in that guidance that you had given earlier.
This is different in the context of the value addition what we'll get when once we commission sulfuric acid, phosphoric acid plants at Kakinada. That number remains intact, and as and when this plant gets commissioned, the improved conversion cost efficiency and the value addition what we have and the ability to secure rock from our captive mines, we should be able to achieve this sort of a jump in EBITDA margin probably in two years down the line. That also includes the portfolio of SSP as well. Overall on the fertilizer portfolio is referring to it. While the jump in SSP may not be to the extent of 40%, but definitely with the value-added product, there'll be significant increase in the margin profile of SSP as well.
Sure, sir. Just secondly, your thoughts on the crop protection business, especially, you know, on the export side. the pricing-led competition that we had been seeing earlier, and you know, given that we are now, are we now expanding into newer geographies as well, or you know, the growth focus from crop protection perspective will be largely on India as a market in terms of in-license and combination products, and export will be taking a backseat. Your thoughts there?
So we'll be growing in all the three segments, whether it is exports or B2B and B2C. And the main reason we are expanding capacity is catered to all the three segments only. If price fluctuations do happen in any commodity prices, and we have also diversified our geographies, so we don't depend only on Latin American markets, that there can be a price competition, but we have our own long-term buyers of our key molecules like Mancozib. And we also seen that in the recent past, there has been increased demand and uptake of this molecule because of the additional sprays, which especially Latin American growers have resorted to, that has created additional demand. So this, and also the restocking which is happening in the ongoing season, that is also helping us to get the better price. Our focus will be to see how best we can increase the volume in the export market. Right now, we predominantly focus on B2B. We are also trying to see how do we formulate and sell various technicals. Also, we are trying to see, can we look at B2C market also. While we are preparing ourselves for introducing new products and registering new products, we are also in parallel working on creating the market opportunities to participate in B2C, especially in Latin America. And parallelly, we are also looking at those different countries. And we are also initiating registration in Europe and US. So we will definitely continue to focus in export market. Of course, India is not to be left out. India market, as I mentioned in the last time call as well, we missed the opportunity. And we are bringing back the focus with our wide range of 14 technical active ingredients what we manufactured provides enough opportunity to scale up the branded volumes of these captive technicals, which we are going systematically. We will also come up with new combinations and the new formulations, and we'll give an aggressive push to the domestic formulation business, which may not require capex, but more in terms of brand building and product management approach. So we are updating our organization structure to suit the revised needs. Our aim would be to grow all the three segments. And whatever the residual capacity is there to optimize the operations at our plants, we will focus on B2B domestic as well.
Okay, great, sir. Thanks a lot for the elaborative answer. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of S. Ramesh from Nirmal Bang Equities. Please go ahead.
Congratulations and thank you very much for the call. So if you look at the volume growth for the industry in exports, you know, numbers range 30, 40, 50%. So in terms of the volume growth expectation in exports next year on this base, what is the realistic assessment of volume growth possible for the industry in your company?
Do we want to take that?
As Shankar mentioned, you know, the outlook is quite positive. Having said that, from a value perspective, many of the prices for many of the actives, because we still largely do business in actives, the prices, while they have stabilized, they are at a fairly low level. So therefore, volume becomes an important play to keep the overall sales, you know, at an even keel. So having said that, that is the reason why we thought we should foray into the formulation segment, where not only we capture, you know, a good decent amount of top line, but also the margin. So in that regard, the thrust that the management is taking, again, as Shankar mentioned, we are putting more money into registration. So when there is so much of competition on generic actives, the only way to make money would be to enhance our presence in the formulations market, both in India and abroad. So when you say volume, our growth expectation is buoyant in both actives as well as formulation. But as a company that is making a more recent foray into formulations, its outlook for formulation growth is on the higher side in exports, specifically that you asked. Does that answer?
Okay, so that's fair enough.
Yeah, there is a shift. Yeah. So the thrust is more on formulation. Yeah.
Okay. And in terms of the nutrient business, based on the October NBS rate, is there any under recovery in the fourth quarter? And how do you see that being reset in the April subsidy? What is the indication you're getting from the government?
See, there are some uptick in raw material prices like sulfur, sulfuric acid, and definitely DAP, margin-wise, it is not good enough for us to produce and sell. So we have been representing the government on this additional plant rates for that cover the cost. And also certain NPK grades like N10, there have been challenges because of very low subsidy and potash. As industry, we have been representing the government to make those corrections and also consider additional costs. We are still to get some feelers on what will be the final numbers, which will come through by March. So if you ask me for the fourth quarter at this point of time, in certain products it looks okay. In certain products there is a shortfall in margin. And we will be continuously engaging the government and hope to see some correction happening in the very.
Okay. One last thought on the minority interest accounted in the consolidated results. I presume it's mostly based on your Dare Ventures and your drone subsidiary. So when do you think the drone and Dare Ventures subsidiary impact on your consolidated numbers turn positive?
Basically, want to take that?
Yeah. You're right, Ramesh. Most of our subs, which are less than 50%, is getting counted as a minority interest. As far as the subsidiaries are concerned, the larger entity that is into operations is the drone subsidiary. Here, as you know, we had received the orders from the emergency procurement team on defense, and the order book is about 250 odd crores. Daksha is awaiting the PDI so that the shipment of these drones can be made. Pending that, we are just focusing on the agri-drones business at this point in time, also training of pilots. So we expect in the coming year quite a positive traction in the drone company operation. Dare Ventures is nothing but an entity which looks into investing in new ag-tech startup companies. Like for instance, we had invested in a company called EcoZen, which is into solar power related, and then X-Machines, which is into small agri-robotic applications. So Dare Ventures is just a small investment arm, but there are other entities which are subsidiaries globally, which hold primarily registration for exports in the CPC segment. So the main one is the drones company, which we believe with traction building up on agri as well as some turnaround on defense should do well in the coming year.
Thank you very much and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bharat Seth from Quis Investment. Please go ahead.
Hi, Sankar and team. Congratulations on good set of numbers. Sankar, if you can give a little more color, say, when we are talking of, say, reaching SSP 1 million tons, so what kind of a blended will be the say all of that mixture of SSP and urea? And if you can also share how the profitability part, how it's, is it with this mixture will be having a higher than the SSP and or sitting somewhere in what kind of a range?
Yeah, the value-added products, both urea, SSP and Pro Plus, out of a million 10 when we reach, at least I expect 60% to come from these two products, Pro Plus and urea SSP. And balance 20-25% will come from normal granulated SSP with zinc. And balance can be powder SSP. So blended margin with this sort of a combination should go to 2,500 rupees per ton when we reach this ratio of 60-40. Currently, base SSP, this powder SSP and granulated SSP, is in the range of 1,500 to 1,800. And the other products are in the range of 2,000 to 2,500. So blend with the increased volume of this Proplus and urea SSP should take the margin up for SSP.
How much, sorry, can you repeat?
Sorry?
This blended margin, how much you said? You sorry, I missed it.
So 2,500 you can definitely take as a blended margin.
Okay. And second thing, if you can give a little more color on our nutrient business, so how, what is the size and how do we see with this expansion in geography also?
Which business? I'm not hearing.
Special nutrients, special SNG.
Oh, specialty nutrients. So specialty nutrients, we operate Pan India basis, and especially in Maharashtra, Western Maharashtra, Rajasthan, MP, UP, Punjab, Haryana, these are the key markets for the specialty nutrients. And in SNG, we have increased our sulfur capacity also. We have put up a new plant, so that volume also will take in. And in certain markets, we also sell through our own retail outlets. We have seen 30-40% volume growth in specialty nutrients in the retail centers, especially in AP, Telangana. We also sell in other common markets through fertilizer channels, whether it is Karnataka, Andhra, Telangana, or other parts of India. So there are a combination of retail network, exclusive markets, predominantly horticulture crops and duplication side, and also we sell through common markets. And we look at introducing new products there. We have introduced seaweed granules this year. Right now we are doing it with a third party product. If the volume scales up, then we may put up a plan to make our own seaweed granules. And we are also scaling up volumes on organic potash. It is distillery based molasses from there we extract potash. That volume also is seeing good traction. So if I had to look at specialty fertilizers, I will put it as water solubles. Then we have this PDM. Then we have sulfur. Then we have micronutrients and other crop specific grades. So all these segments are receiving good traction. And the focus will be to scale up the volume and create capacities. In fact, we are reaching the size and scale. We are seriously looking at manufacturing some of the raw materials to reduce our dependence on imports from China. That provides opportunity because global players of specialty nutrients are also looking for India sourcing. They are trying to shift the manufacturing source from China to India. If that happens, that provides additional opportunity for companies like Coromandel to come up with this raw materials, because water soluble fertilizers use MAP, SOP and KNO3, potassium nitrate, these are the products. So we are also seriously evaluating as part of our growth strategy to create a back-end value chain for specialty nutrients and also be a global supplier for this grade. I strongly believe water soluble fertilizers, high-end specialties, organic and bio will be the next phase of growth, and we are currently positioning ourselves for that.
So currently, what is the size and profitability? Is that fair understanding? Earlier, you were talking up around 20% kind of EBITDA margin. So,
absolutely, it has the potential to generate EBITDA margin of 20-25%.
And what is current size?
Current placing as well.
Yeah, and currently, how? What is the size?
It will be in the range of 550 to 600 crores on an annualized basis. Our aim would be to see how do we double it in the next 2 years' time.
Okay. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vignesh Iyer from Sequence Investment. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. My first question was on the line of sulfuric acid due to backward integration. Can you tell me how much, you know, did we save instead of say importing the same in this quarter as well as quarter two? And second question is, how has the price of sulfuric acid panned out in let's say last 4 to 5 months? I mean, if you could quantify like in January, how much it has increased as compared to maybe a September or October level?
It used to be in the $80-$85 range. That has moved up to $100. And we do have combination of annual contract and the spot contract. So the if you can say the average around $90 to $100 is in the sulfuric acid price if they import. on the value addition what we get in terms of manufacturing sulfuric acid, we have two benefits, cost of production versus imported sulfuric acid, as well as the power saving. I may not have an exact number for the quarter, but I can say roughly 180 crores is the 9 months benefit we have realized on account of sulfuric acid value addition.
Oh, that is your Vizag and Indore plant together, right? I mean,
Vizag. We have got sulfuric acid capacity came up in Vizag.
Okay. Got it, sir. Yeah, that's awesome.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vinesh Doka from Nuama. Please go ahead.
You are not audible. Can you please repeat?
So your voice is not audible properly. So I just request you to rejoin the queue again, please. The next question is from the line of Riju Dalu from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yeah,
please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. So my question was in terms of the unique grade share to the total fertilizer volume this quarter.
For this quarter is around 34%.
34%? Yeah, thank you. Thanks. Thanks for the clarification, sir. Yeah, that's all from my side.
Thank you. As that was the last question for the day, I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Over to you.
Well, thank you very much. We will continue to do our best to improve our performance in the coming quarter. Thank you for your activity. Thank you, Ranjit.
Thank you all. Thank you. On behalf of IIFL Capital, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you.